Welcome to Web and Beyond Live for August 30th, 2021. I'm Ray Sidney Smith, President of W3 Consulting and Managing Director of W3C Web Services, which provides affordable web and WordPress hosting, domain name registration, and other web-related services to small business. Web and Beyond Live is a weekly show about topical and timely small business digital marketing and related issues, and really all the things I'm tracking from week to week, paying attention to on behalf of my small business clients. And so I just share that with you to help you really be successful on regarding marketing and managing on the web and beyond today. And so if you're joining me here live, welcome. How's it going? Happy new week to you. And if you're watching the replay, feel free to join in the conversation afterward. I try to monitor the chat afterward along with our staff. So with that, today's agenda, we're going to talk a little bit about OnlyFans to start to kind of hopefully close the loop on that story. We'll talk about Google, Microsoft, Walmart, Amazon. And what I wanted to do was close out today with a discussion on video marketing going forward. What small business owners should really be thinking about regarding video marketing. We have a great survey that came out that I think illuminates some data that can be really useful for us in thinking that through. And so what I want to do is pull up my screen and let's get into the news today. And so let's do that. All right. So first and foremost, you know that I reported, if not last week, the week before that, that OnlyFans had made the decision to go ahead and start removing explicit content from their website. Of course, there's a consistent concern about child, explicit content or, child pornography, basically, being put out there along with, forcible content, basically content that is not, people haven't chosen to put on the platform. And so OnlyFans has kind of flip-flopped here, not really understanding, the background behind the story. But for those of you who potentially know people who are using OnlyFans or those who are content creators using OnlyFans, because remember, OnlyFans is not just for pornography. There are creators on there using the platform, just like they are Patreon and Memberful and other kinds of creator platforms. And, Buy Me a Coffee is another platform. And, there are other platforms out there that do this kind of, easy payment on the front end and easy content sharing on the back end. And now OnlyFans is going back on that. And they're going to hopefully figure out whatever these background pieces are that caused them to not be able to, move forward originally. All right, enough with that then. And moving on to our next story. So Google and Microsoft, in essence, attended a cybersecurity summit that was hosted by the White House. This is last week now. And in essence, they talked to, all of the various staffers and the president and so on and so forth. And they came out and basically said that they're going to be investing a lot of money in cybersecurity. And this is great news for small business. I think that this is really important, especially since we continue to see more and more attacks on companies, including Microsoft. And this is kind of leads us to our other story here. So I'm just going to include it here and then we'll go back, which is that Microsoft recently warned thousands of their cloud customers about an exposed database issue. And so the reality, though, is this is regarding their Cosmos database. And so this doesn't really affect you unless you are hosting applications in the cloud through Microsoft's Azure Cosmos database. So most of you will not be affected by this, but if you know what I'm talking about, if you hear the words Cosmos and that rings a bell for something that you are working on in your company, then go ahead and reach out to Microsoft and go ahead and get those locked up. I believe there's now a tool that will tell you whether or not the database is unlocked and open to the public. And so you can go ahead and have those taken care of. Otherwise, this really doesn't affect Microsoft users like Microsoft 365 or otherwise, which now takes us back to Microsoft's Office 365 business subscriptions, which will see a price increase in 2022. So if you are planning out your budget for 2022 and thinking through what are going to be your costs, Microsoft is basically raising the prices by $1 or $2 per package across the board. So Microsoft is bumping up their basic plan. This is all starting on March 1st, 2022. Your monthly prices you know, whether you're they're renewing, you know, on a monthly or annual basis, you're going to see basic prices go to from $5 USD to $6 USD. The premium is going to go from $20 to $22. And then the various e-platforms, E1, E3 platforms are going to also increase and raise by a few dollars, you know, $4 here, $2 here, $3 there, up per month. Per product. Okay. So that includes Microsoft 365 and Office 365 variants. So just be mindful of that. You know, we're going to see that same price increase. We do provide Microsoft 365 licensing. So if you're interested in that, please feel free to touch base with us and we can see whether or not our prices match Microsoft's public pricing. It's through, you know, Microsoft 365 and GoDaddy that we partner to make that happen. And so let us know and we can kind of look at what our pricing is and see whether or not we can't match that and make that you know, better for you and see what the migration process is going to be like for you there. But just be mindful that pricing is coming forward. All right, moving right along then. Microsoft Teams also made an announcement just so that you're aware that they are no longer going to be supporting iOS 13 or older. Okay, so these are for iOS 13 or older. So if you have any iOS devices, iPad, iPhone, iPod Touch, those kinds of things that are running Microsoft Teams, right? Only Microsoft Teams, they're not going to be supporting prior to iOS 13, okay? So, or iOS 13 or older. So get those iOS devices updated that you should anyway for security purposes. There's lots of really great improvements on the platform. And if your device can support it, I would suggest that you go ahead and upgrade. But otherwise, then just realize that you'll want to get the latest version of Microsoft Teams on the system, but then you won't see any further updates on that platform there. Okay, next up is some Google news. Google has recently made a decision to synchronize your Google Podcasts apps for all of your devices. So in essence, if you are playing, so Google Podcasts has a podcast app and it's a true podcast app. So I've been trying to explain this to a lot of business owners recently. So there are podcast players out there that stream podcasts. These are apps like Spotify and otherwise that are not truly podcast apps. They are just streaming audio to you, just, you know, like Spotify streams music to you. They're streaming audio to you. That is not as good for the podcast producer. I publish lots of podcasts, and it's not as good for me when someone is streaming their audio from, say, Spotify or otherwise, than when they're subscribed to my RSS feed in a podcast app like Pocket Casts, Overcast on iOS, Pocket Casts on Android. Google Podcasts is another good product. I don't even recommend Apple Podcasts anymore because Apple is, you know, just don't know what they're doing over there. And you know, with podcasts, and I don't want them until they make a decision about how they're going to handle things. They're also using new terminology. They're using follow instead of subscribe because they created a new subscription platform. It's just a bit of a mess. So I'm just really much more, dedicated to having people download true podcast applications and educating people about that. But anyway, Google has basically decided that that Google Podcasts web app will now synchronize your queue and listening progress across devices. And this is really quite helpful. I know that for sometimes I listen to different podcasts on different devices purposefully. So, you know, it's just a matter of the fact that now your current queue and your listening progress on those episodes are just going to synchronize. And I think that'll be positive across the board. Even if you don't utilize them on that device, it's going to be available to you. And so if you are producing a podcast or thinking about producing a podcast, make sure that you recommend, if you have Android users, Google Podcasts, because it's a very competent podcast application. And you know, they're providing you with a true RSS feed-based download, which of course is, bolsters good marketing investment for you in the business. All right, next up. This I thought was really interesting and came out of left field for me. And I'm really, really glad Amazon has done this. Amazon has just announced a new policy. In essence, what they're going to do is that they're going to pay up to $1,000 of any personal injury or property damage claim that is made for products that they are selling to you or by their third party providers. Okay. So in essence, if someone receives a product and they open up the product and for some reason it explodes, you know, something like that. If there's only been, you know, $500 worth of damage, Amazon is the one that when you make a claim through the Amazon platform and they just determine that that is an appropriate claim, they're the ones who are going to pay it. And then they're going to deal with the seller down the road. Okay. Same thing with property damage. You open up that same box. It doesn't hurt you, but it like blows off your, you know, your front door. You know, you need to have that replaced. Not that that would only be $1,000, but say it's only, you know, only damaged something to the effect of a couple $100s. It will then get paid by Amazon first, and then Amazon will go ahead and collect from the seller. So this is really good. It gives them a competitive advantage against Walmart and Target and other platforms like that, Etsy even. But the reality is that on the business side, start thinking about this. If you are an Amazon third-party seller, if you're using Amazon FBA and or any other of the Amazon small business products that allow you to put your products in front of folks through the Amazon platform, you are now abiding by this new policy, which means that you have Amazon to deal with and not directly those customers when those things happen. So these are just for things that are $1,000 or less, but just be mindful of it. It's something that we all have to be aware of. Amazon wants to make themselves competitive in the market. And because they're selling lots of third-party components, you know, they're really an intermediary in many ways, but they are considered the party involved because that's where you bought it from. And so they decided to close the gap there, so that they are handling those things that are very nominal in terms of $1,000 or less. So just be aware of that. If you have any questions, you should probably check out your terms of service and see if anything has changed as an Amazon seller. And just make sure that if you are, you know, dealing with anything that is explosive or, you know, can injure your customers, and that you do get these kinds of claims, what do you do now that this has changed? I don't know, but you know, you should probably talk to legal counsel and, you know, otherwise insurance and so on and so forth to figure those pieces out. And how will that change when Amazon is now the person who's coming to you to get paid? Are they capable of just, you know, holding that against your revenues that they receive? You know, what kind of leverage do you have when Amazon is the one that's escrowing your revenues and paying those claims? Will they have a more aggressive policy? Will they have a more conservative policy? I don't know, which means that you need to figure those pieces out for your own business. Okay. And next up, Walmart is launching a new white label delivery service they call Go Local. And I think this is brilliant on the part of Walmart. So really, last mile logistics are one of the most difficult things to do. That is to say, you know, we can get things shipped across the world, you know, manufactured, shipped across the world and land in your store. But getting it from your store to your customer's front door is always the most difficult thing. And as we learned during this pandemic, it's really difficult to handle delivery while you're trying to run your business as well. And so Walmart, because they've got the logistics and delivery components pretty much down, they've decided to put this logistics and delivery service into a white label status, meaning that someone can go ahead and have a small, say, cafe and now do coffee and tea delivery. And Walmart will handle the logistics and delivery of that cup of coffee or order. So think of Uber Eats, but white labeled, so that your branding is there. When someone shows up, they say, "Hi, I'm from Sarah's coffee shop," and they're handing you the coffee, and Walmart's handling payment and all those other things for you, potentially. And you're now just capable of sticking to running the business. Now, I would imagine that just like Amazon or any other platform, they're going to take a pretty, you know, hefty chunk of change to do this for you. But the other part here is that Walmart gets to collect all of that data, and they are behind the eight ball when it comes to this, certainly in comparison or relative to Amazon and other third-party logistics people out there. So, you know, Amazon has been doing 3PL for a long time, and now Walmart is getting in that game to be able to go ahead and make that competitive step into the road of white label delivery services. So, very, very curious. If any of you are, you have retail and you're thinking about doing this, especially as we have this protracted length of the COVID-19 pandemic, and you want to be able to do delivery, and also, you know, you're able to, you know, have folks that were probably working for you and you were covering their costs, maybe now those get externalized to Walmart. And now you're just paying Walmart the logistics and delivery service fees as opposed to another salary. So, you know, I can see how these can be kind of shifted around, and there are ethics around that, you know, just kind of figuring those pieces out, plus the tax and legal ramifications of agency over that particular person. But that all with, you know, notwithstanding, I think this is a really good option for a business that was not providing delivery services before and delivery services going forward. And so I think this can be a really, really great option for you in that position or folks that you're working with in that position. All right. So those are pretty much the news components of the week. And what there's one little piece that I wanted to note as well. So the new governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, recently expanded the eligibility for small businesses. And there are now $50,000 grants that are available to small businesses. You have to be in the state of New York. And so there's a whole process, you know, for applying for these grants and whatnot. But I've got a link here in the video description that will be added. And so, you know, if you are in the state of New York and you're looking for some funds, you've been hurt by the pandemic, this, you know, this business pandemic recovery program may be good for you. It's up to $50,000, it looks like. So worth checking out if you are in New York State. And that's just a reminder that almost every state has different programs for COVID recovery. So look at all of the small business programs available to you, because while you might think, well, I've not been really impacted by COVID, you may still have been in the eyes of the government. And these grants, they're not even loans, they're grants. So they're giving you money to be able to build your business. So this may be a good accelerant for your business to be able to not just, you know, survive, but thrive on the other side of the pandemic. So this may be your opportunity to invest in Walmart Go Local or building out your own delivery and logistics services so that you're able to do that. Or, for example, if you've got logistics and delivery services under, you know, real lock and key for your region, maybe you white label your own services and start bringing on some other customers in that regard. You never know. So just like start thinking about these things, and these types of grants may be able to help you get there. Not just these pandemic related recovery grants, but there are other grants that are out there that are marketing grants that some cities and regions have. And so there are lots of funds out there that sometimes can help you grow the business, even in an economic downturn. So worth checking out. Okay. So I came across this particular report, and this is called the Video Marketing Statistics 2021 Report, Navigating Through Change. And it's put together by Motion Cue. And so I just thought it was really interesting and wanted to just walk you through some of the statistics that were demonstrated in the program. And so first and foremost, they showed that 76% of businesses who used video said that it showed a positive ROI in their marketing efforts. And even with a margin of error, that is a huge statistic. I mean, just think about it. You know, if we think about U.S. politics, you couldn't get, you know, 50% of anybody to believe in one particular thing or another. You know, when you see things that are supported and they're 75%, it's basically, you know, everybody agrees to that particular thing. And so 76%, when it comes to businesses using video, it's a clear positive step that doing more video is going to be helpful to the business. It said 78% of marketers believe that video would help them get new customers. Nearly 80%, that's just amazing again. 85% of marketers believe that video will play an important role in marketing in the years to come. I'm one of those. I really believe that video is so important and powerful. That doesn't detract away from podcasting and audio, by the way. Just because one is important doesn't mean that the other isn't. And so just remember that I believe that this is a yes and situation. Video is so important, but audio is as well. You're not going to see me walking down the street watching video. You're going to see me listening to something while I'm walking down the street or while I'm driving. And until self-driving cars, become self-sufficient in the sense that it doesn't require me to pay attention, I'm still likely going to be not watching video while I'm driving. So the idea here is that in all of these circumstances where I still need to be cognizant of my environment, video is not the appropriate consumption platform, it will be audio. So don't misread me when I say that I think that audio and video are both so, so powerful in terms of multimedia. On the consumer side of things, this is really interesting. 80% of people reported they spend more than a quarter of their time watching videos when they're on social media. So 80% of their social media consumption is video. 60%, 59% of consumers said they prefer watching a short video compared to reading text descriptions to understand a product or service. Path of least resistance. If I'm on a page and you've got a description about your product, but there you have on that page a video that's just going to explain it to me, path of least resistance, I'm going to click play and have you explain it to me. And it's just going to be easier for me. The moving imagery, the demonstration of the product, all of those things are going to be far more effective to me and efficient for me by watching the video over text. Again, you could also embed audio there. I'd probably listen to the audio over read the text as well. That is just human nature. We're going to take the path of least resistance. And finally here, they say 83% of people said that a product slash service explainer video helped them in making a business decision. Several years ago, this has got to be about 6 or 7 years ago, I've been talking to a legal service provider who provides all kinds of front-end marketing for lawyers and law firms. And they said that when they put videos on law firm websites, front end of the website, so front page of the website, they embedded a video, usually of the attorney or partner of the firm introducing themselves and so on and so forth, they saw a 6x return on basically someone signing a retainer or engaging that law firm over their other business clients. So the power of just a product or explainer video, and in this case, a service explainer video, just the service provider making that connection, you know, kind of face-to-face because you're there explaining on camera, is such a powerful component here that I think a lot of small businesses forget and miss in that sense. Okay. Just a couple other interesting statistics here. They said the number one medium for keeping brands top of mind, again, video. That's at 33%. Imagery on social media, 31%. Email newsletters, 19%. And they go into others. But note that the 19% email newsletters, I would argue that I don't know how they really did this particular statistic here, but they left out SMS or text messaging. Text messaging is becoming a huge component within marketing today. And, you know, you're talking 96, sometimes higher than that percentage open rates. So people open text messages. So just because they say email newsletters here, I don't want you to misunderstand this as missing the boat on text messaging and the communication power of text messages in this whole process. It said 66% of consumers said they watch video content on their mobile phones. So most consumption is happening on mobile devices, according to this survey. And that just depends on your audience. I bet that is different based on audiences. There's a positive affect associated with watching video. Most people during the pandemic were using video as a mechanism for entertainment and helping them feel better. And it said 56% of people said that the pandemic pushed them toward online learning, which means that if you plan to do some, say, cohort-based learning, cohort-based courses, that is basically getting a group of people and having them in community learn together through the course of time, you're going to be so much more successful today than before the pandemic because people are used to that concept of going online to learn. And so definitely something to think about. Of course, and no shocker to me, YouTube is the number one platform for watching video and at 71%. Remarkably, Facebook is neck and neck with TikTok if you don't include Instagram in that process. So Instagram includes 5% for Reels and 2% for IG and 12% for Facebook. So if you combine those three together, of course, Facebook is in second with 19%. So Facebook's nearly 20% of video consumed if you include their own platforms, and 10% TikTok. That is a remarkable amount of video that TikTok has taken in terms of market share. And so I'm very curious to see how that will go forward in terms of time. But YouTube is still the dominant player, and they now have YouTube Shorts. So that will probably help level the playing field to some extent. Not level the playing field. It'll continue to have YouTube edge out its market share. So we could see this number increasing over 2021, because if they have 71% now and they've now installed basically what is Instagram Reels or TikTok videos, then they're going to probably eke back up to 74-75% by 2021's data. They also noted here that the number one platform for video marketers was also YouTube. So you can see that there's some popularity among Facebook and TikTok. TikTok is 18%. Facebook is 24%. So we can see that that is all very interesting in that sense. It looks like Robin Sumi from Startup to Growth has joined us. And so, hi, Robin. How's it going? She notes here that astonishing stats on videos. Thanks for highlighting the value of the explainer video on the homepage for service businesses. Absolutely. I think that it's so, so important for us to be paying attention to the connection, right? It's all about if I come to your website and I've landed on your homepage, I want to make a connection. I want you to solve my problem, but I also need to trust you that you're the one who can solve my problem. And so just by virtue of the fact that I'm on camera and video talking to you, you get to know me. And if you're listening to the podcast, you're getting to know my voice, and that breeds familiarity. And so, you know, that's the point, is that people want to do business with people they know, like, and trust. And getting to know somebody in an audio or video in a way really builds that rapport and that trust, because you can get to know, like, okay, do I trust Raymond? Do I think that he knows what he's talking about? Do I think that he's someone that I can work with? Is his personality the type of personality that I would mesh well with? And those are all so important when it comes to these things. Okay, continuing on, there's just a few more pieces I wanted to pay attention to here. I said 60% of consumers spent a quarter or more of their time on social media watching videos. And we noted that at the top in terms of things. But if we look at the data here, even when we look at the statistics here, it said that the social media usage during the pandemic, of course, increased. But the point of the situation is that if we look at video grabs attention on social, it only grabbed people less than 25% of the time for 32% of the population. That other 68% was 25 to 50, 50 to 75, and more than 75%. So the 50 to 75% was the part that I thought was really interesting. So 23% of the time, 50 to 75% of the time, a video is what triggered someone to spend more of their time on social media watching that content. And this is just important for us to remember that the moving image is really powerful on social media, because there's so much busyness, there's so much clutter going on, that video is going to be powerful on the platform. Okay, just a couple other things that I wanted to point out. Value of video. As we said before, video marketers basically say that videos showed a positive ROI. The things that showed that positive ROI are building awareness, product explanation, increasing sales, increasing traffic, bringing traffic to the website by virtue of embedding that video on your website for search engine optimization purposes and otherwise, and then customer onboarding, right? Build awareness, explain products, increase sales, increase traffic, customer onboarding. Each of those is their own type of strategy that you can use with video. And so really important to kind of keep in mind when we're thinking about that. And then last but not least, I just wanted to cover the takeaway that MotionQ wrote here as it relates to their Video Marketing Statistics 2021 report. They wrote here, video has sustained its popularity over the years, and there's constant innovation in terms of content. We expect to see marketers invest in live streams, video podcasts, interactive videos, personalized content, and shoppable videos. Keep these up and coming trends in mind as you build your video marketing strategy. And I did want to make one quick note here, which is that somewhere in here, they noted the live stream platform of choice among marketers. And for some reason, I think I skipped that particular slide, but I thought it was really, really fascinating. So I don't know where it went now, but basically they said that the platform of choice among marketers to go live was YouTube again. So here it is. So here, live streams went mainstream in 2020. So 60% of marketers chose YouTube as their favorite platform for going live. Second to that was Facebook, and then Twitch, and then that final one was Instagram. And so I found this to be very, very interesting, because You know, Facebook still stands in second place, but we don't see a lot of Instagram Live, and we don't see any TikTok Live in these numbers. And LinkedIn is the one that has this little smidgen of 8%. You know, that's there. And so, you know, like the important part for me to think about when it comes to all of these pieces is figuring out where your audience is, where they're likeliest to watch you live. Okay. And so I've chosen YouTube Live clearly, you know, from, because I'm the Google Small Business Advisor for Productivity, but that's also my platform of choice generally. You know, we're live streaming also to Facebook and to Twitter. I love Twitter. But you know, YouTube ends up being the constant place where I put that content, because I know most people that follow me and otherwise are going to be able to consume it there. It's going to be the most accessible place. So you have to make some decisions about those things, but just keep that in mind as well. It did also note that 63% of people picked Zoom as their favorite video conferencing platform. I am not surprised at all related to that. Microsoft Teams was right behind that, then Skype, then Google Meet, and then GoToMeeting, the Cisco, not Cisco, who owns GoToMeeting. I forget who owns GoToMeeting now, but either way, that's kind of the you know, rundown of the video marketing statistics 2021 report. And so I just thought it was interesting to go through these pieces, and hopefully this helps you kind of start generating new ideas as it relates to what you can be doing in social related to video, and, you know, just thinking through video strategy, you know, writ large in the business. And so with that, we are going to wrap ourselves up for today. I really appreciate you spending this time with me. And if you've enjoyed the live stream, feel free to click the thumbs up icon. That helps make us new small business friends. And so thank you for doing that. You can also subscribe to the YouTube channel by clicking the subscribe button there. When we go live, you know, you'll be notified when we go live. If you have a question or a comment after the fact, feel free to leave a comment on the video, or you can always tweet or message me at W3 consulting on Twitter and most of the other socials. I think on Facebook, we're W3 consulting Inc. INC, and otherwise LinkedIn, we're W3 consulting otherwise around the webs. You can join us usually every Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern here for Web and Beyond Live. I did want to make one quick announcement. You will note that our web services, so W3C web services, our domain has changed. So if you go to the old web.w3cinc.com, you'll be navigated there. But going forward, we did change the domain because of a minor technical change that we made. So we are now store.w3cwebservices.com. Sorry, it's a little bit longer, but that was the change we needed to make in order to make it work. But either way, if you still go to your normal, you know, web.w3cinc.com, it'll forward, but the new domain will be store.w3cwebservices.com. And with that, I will see you all next week. Thanks so much for spending this Web and Beyond Live with me. I'm Ray Sidney Smith on behalf of W3 Consulting and W3C Web Services. Have a great week ahead, marketing your small business on the Web and Beyond.